Your film is a lovely film, Love in the Walls.
Okay.
It's beautifully put together, and you're the cinematographer, the editor, the writer, everything. So tell us about your journey into making this film.
Oh man, yes. Fortunately and unfortunately, yes, one of those first kind of feature documentaries where you have to carry a lot of the weight yourself. But yeah, very, I think, appropriate for this film in particular. Yeah, look, Love in the Walls is a very special film to me. It's my first kind of foray into long form documentary after doing short documentary for a long time, and it's a film that really came quite naturally out of the kind of relationships, I guess, that the film's trying to advocate for as well. So the social housing communities that are featured in the documentary are sort of, 10, 15 minutes up the road from me. And I've got some good friends that are the house managers of these social housing communities. So they actually live on location with the residents. And so kind of through that relationship and over time, I ended up spending more and more time at these houses and connecting with the residents there. And I think as time went on, everyone was quite obviously realizing, oh, there's great stories here. And as those residents kind of grew comfortable with my presence being there and grew comfortable with the idea of their stories maybe being a worthwhile kind of challenge to Australian society, they eventually invited the camera into their space to capture those. And being that it was just me, having my background as a documentary cinematographer, I kind of felt that it was more appropriate just to keep it me and my camera, so that those relationships more organically kind of transformed into being a way to capture these stories.
Well, of course, it's these stories are heartbreaking, in fact, but very human and so universal in tone, despite people's desire to think that these people are purely marginalized human beings, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
One of the things that's so compelling about your film is actually the pacing and the ability to sit in the emotion and the almost breathless sense of pacing. That's happened to you naturally, or what?
Oh, I mean, thank you. That's a really, really nice compliment. I think it's definitely something I tried to achieve with this film. I think from very early on, what I realized with the story was that I wasn't going to be able to probably craft your more traditional linear sort of character story in a documentary with the, beginning, middle, and end, and just following one person. I kind of knew, recognized the strength of the story was more the mosaic of how much was going on in these community housing communities and how all these different stories intersected with different parts of Australian life. And I wanted that to sort of be the story. And I think the thing I realized quickly with that was, oh, it needs a different approach to how it's edited and paced so that people don't feel like they're just getting thrown with different elements all at once, but rather they experience it as seamlessly and as breathlessly, as you said, as possible. And I think, thankfully, from a lot of the feedback, that's what a lot of the audiences are experiencing. And I think that it also just came down to how sort of lean the film was in terms of how I shot it. Like, it's an incredibly lean film in terms of the material that's there to work with. And that just happened quite naturally, where, it wasn't a kind of film where we were just out shooting whatever we could, whenever we could, and then trying to figure it out later. It's a very kind of slow, methodical documentary. And really, the camera only came out once it was invited to by the participants. And so, because of that, it meant that no, there wasn't a lot of searching for shots or searching for moments. The moment was there. Like, say, for example, with Cam in his bedroom, it's sort of like that was like a 12-month process to get to that one little scene of just relationship without a camera. And then the one day he's like, yeah, sure, bring the camera out, we'll have a chat in my room. Like, and so that is what we get. I'm not going to try and do that any other way. And so when you work with that kind of material, that footage ends up really naturally finding its place in the edit, where you don't need 50 different camera angles of the one moment. It's just you've got this shot, you get to immerse the audience in that exact room and atmosphere with that participant. And I think as you kind of get the flow of the film, you get to bounce between these really nice, kind of slow, locked off moments that all kind of create this beautiful mosaic in the edit that show a really broad picture of what it's like with these two different parts of Australian society trying to coexist.
Why did you become a filmmaker?
Oh, goodness. That's a great question. Oh, man. Well, just for stories really like this. Like I'm originally from the Northern Rivers in New South Wales, and so growing up around kind of Lismore and Byron Bay area, got exposed to a lot of these kind of stories of coexistence of two different sides of Australian society that on paper probably shouldn't be able to coexist, and then you're kind of seeing them try to figure that out together. And those stories really quite strongly interested me. By day, I'm a documentary cinematographer, so I'm usually not steering a ship. I'm usually just behind the camera, and that for me kind of I came into that as being a way of realizing, oh look, I love visual beauty. I love being able to create things that are visually immersive for audiences, and that have that beauty to them. And I realized, I think for me, that oh, the place where that feels most natural for me to exercise that is using my platform as a loudspeaker for other people and their voices, particularly those who are usually marginalized and don't have that loudspeaker. So that's really why I got into film, is because the people around me that had these incredible stories, they'd come from these incredible backgrounds, faced immense hardship, and truly portrayed, I think, the truer identity of what Australia looks like. And but their voices weren't getting that platform that they deserved. And so I figured, oh, okay, if I'm in film, I can help maybe get those voices a little bit louder.
Well, it's funny, because I just recently heard a quote by Gramsci that said one of his quotes was something of like this: "People who have had immense hardship deserve happiness." And it's
That's
this,
beautiful.
and this film is like that. And the fact that you start off as a cinematographer working for other people, it tells me something, because the way your camera works, it sits there. It allows people to do what they're doing rather than being intrusive, and you're not trying to perform some sort of special trick. It's actually quite an unusual approach.
No, oh, thank you. That's the best feedback. I really do appreciate that, because that is what I was trying to do. I mean, I think this film came up at a time when I was really actively trying to move away from a style of cinematography and filmmaking that felt like it was trying to make itself known and was trying to insert itself and move towards a style that was still beautiful as it could possibly be, so that audiences could be immersed instantly, but was ultimately like you said, not interruptive, but just captured things as they were. And you can never get rid of the camera. The participant's always going to be aware of the camera. But you can definitely soften its presence way more than I think we sometimes do with documentary.
Well, I think what happens is that the ego of the formulator is much stronger than people give credit in filmmaking, and it is an artistic expression. But one of the things about this film is that it's such a moving experience. One time I was in a house when there was a total eclipse, and the light went across the room. It lost itself across the room, and your film does that.
Oh, wow.
You are lost in the movement of the light, with the different personalities of the people who are involved. Like, for example, the guy who is talking to who has a collaboration with the neighbor with the garden. That's actually a really big story,
It
but
is him.
but you don't insult our intelligence. You allow the story to be told in that conversation. And I'd already figured out that he came from a fairly tony family, like a wealthy family, because you can hear it in his accent. But then he says he was brought up in Portsea, right? And his grandfather owned land, like they were big wigs, big potatoes, as some would say. But so much has been said in this conversation that you allow to be said. So in the editing process, you've established yourself as well. So tell me about what you were doing there.
Oh man. The editing process was incredibly simple because of what I had to work with. Like I mentioned, it was the material that I'd shot was very, very lean. So things fit together in the editing process like a puzzle. Like it was really only quite a simple, I think, straightforward way for things to fit. I originally, like maybe about this time last year, I'd cut a 25-minute version of the film, which was the three main character stories just running together as three separate vignettes. And that's when I kind of knew, like, oh, this has something, this has potential here. And those three character vignettes, starting with Paul and then Marty and then Cam, plus Cam talking to the neighbor, they remain virtually unchanged through the rest of the edit, and instead got threaded together with these other smaller moments throughout the social housing community. So I think for me, with the edit, it was understanding and acknowledging that these will be heavy story moments for an audience to have to sit with the residents and hear some of the heaviness. And so I'm like, okay, well, what's beyond that that ties these together so that the audience can go on this kind of movement from, you've sat with a resident, you've heard their story, now you can participate in kind of the daily life. You got the painting classes, there's the cook, there's the chef. We're visiting an apple orchard today, you've got these moments of, rest and relief, so that you can also still see that it's not just about this heaviness every single day. It is. We need to acknowledge how hard it is for these residents, but they find these moments of relief that, are quite small, but quite meaningful for them. And so in the edit, it was just, I just wanted to try and let things run as long as I could until someone told me they thought it was too long. And then it was probably, could go a little bit longer after that. When you found that shot that was like, oh, I don't want anyone to have to look away from this too quickly. I was just trying to push and see how long you can, in a documentary space, let that shot hang out for, because you don't get the creative control if it was narrative of like, yes, you need to do this very emotive action or say this thing because this shot's gonna be a minute long. It's like, well, what has this person done in the frame? And I think very thankfully I had in the edit just so much interesting life in every single frame that they just didn't need to be cut away from. Thankfully for me, I got to have a break from doing everything in post-production by being able to hand it off to be color graded. That incredible crayon in Melbourne with Sam McCarthy, who, after I'd sat with the footage for a year looking at it with my own temp grades on it and stuff, I got to sit in with him and watch him do absolute magic on that footage and really bring out this kind of depth to the image that I hadn't been able to do myself. And just color-wise as well, adding this kind of language to different scenes that I didn't have before, that really, I think, quite makes it a really moving experience to watch as well.
I don't know enough about color grading.
He would do things like, there's these two painting scenes in the film, right? You've got one earlier in the film and then one towards the end of the film where he's got these two painting classes. And then in the earlier one, he's color graded it to be a bit more muted and a bit cooler because this is the first session for these residents. They're learning about, how they're about to express themselves onto these canvases. And then when we get to the end of the film, they've gone through quite a substantial amount of personal change through engaging with the art class. And the colorist Sam has just done this gorgeous wash of warm over that entire scene. And it was just quite serendipitous that on that day as well, the main person in that scene we're focusing on, the resident, is wearing this big bright yellow shirt as well. And the sun is beaming in through the building, and I think was pushing it as far as possible visually into that warm, those warm tones. Just, it helps you subconsciously as an audience member, you differentiate, you recall when this room and these participants were cooler and they were more muted, and now you're seeing them more alive and with this warmth to them. And I think that subconsciously helps that kind of motion. We don't need somebody verbally saying, I feel much better now compared to the last one. You've visually felt it in the color.
The people who work there and their relationship to the
Yeah.
people is really quite extraordinary, isn't it?
It is. It's fantastic. It's a very unique model. It's the reason why I decided to try and focus on this particular organization, because they are doing something quite unique to what you see in the social housing space. Live-in housing managers are usually, it's quite a rare model, and just the way that they are able to create this sense of community where at Servants Community Housing, the way they work is the social housing building is your home. It's where you live. You still have your normal day job, but at the end of the day, you come back and you have dinner with the residents. You help, day-to-day tasks with them. The residents are still largely independent, but you are definitely having this wider immersion in this kind of community, of vulnerable peoples. And it's only certain people can, do really well in that role. And I think the servants community really show that. It's like, oh, you found the perfect staff members, the perfect house managers for this, because they have the most utmost, compassion. And, well, like how the CEO mentions, towards the end of the film, it's sort of like it's very simple, it's being there, and when shit hits the fan, there's somebody there, right? There's somebody that you can count on that's compassionate. This model, like if it can be maintained and further expanded, it's a model that I starts to alleviate the responsibility off of those staff and the house managers solely, and encourages the wider community to begin taking on its responsibility of caring for these people, right? And that's the point. That's the whole point of this community, is that it's not self-sustainable, but it's starting inviting this wider community of neighbors and schools and community groups in to be like, to recognize what has all along been their responsibility, but seldom is recognized in Australia and taken on as that responsibility. And so it's, yeah, I think it does a great job of destigmatizing a lot of that, the fears around what does it look like? And like, again, that conversation that you mentioned between the neighbor and Cam is definitely the center point of the film, because it just lands a lot of those fears that particularly the more kind of wealthy class of Australia have around social housing. You know, what if there's yelling in my streets? What if there's violence? What if there's substance abuse? It's like, well, what if? Like, that's going to be here for a long time. People are going to be homeless for quite a long time still. That's not going away overnight. And it's clear that from a government perspective, that's not going away any quicker either. And so there's a huge onus on us as cities to take up that responsibility ourselves, and take it up with a much more compassionate effort. I just always keep coming back to the film, that kind of indictment from the neighbor, which she mentions in your interview. You know, it's like how well we come alongside the most vulnerable in our cities is the greatest measure of our cities. And I think that's my hope, really. Hey, with the film, is that that kind of class of Australians will watch it and be like, oh, this isn't as maybe scary as I thought, and is actually vital for my city to flourish, for me to come alongside the most vulnerable.